This is the Ag Market Network's monthly cotton conference call, brought to you by Cotton Incorporated and by Certified Fibermax. You can find more online at agmarketnetwork.net.
We want to welcome everyone today to the Ag Market Network, a monthly teleconference of October the 12th. I'm Pat McClatchy. The program is brought to you by Bayer Crop Science. Also, Cotton Incorporated is a sponsor of our programs. And our cotton panel today is joined by our guest speaker, Kelly Merritt. Kelly is a cotton farmer from La Mesa, Texas. She's also a crop marketing consultant and a commodity broker. She's joined us on quite a few occasions before. We always enjoy having her. Kelly, we had our crop report on Friday. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts were kind of a mixed bag. I thought it was slightly optimistic slant in some ways and a bit of a punch to farmers on the price projections. They lowered U.S. production expectations by 90,000 bales, which was somewhat of a surprise. I think overall expectations were that they would actually increase the production. So there was the big surprise. U.S. ending stocks were lowered by 100,000 bales. And domestic meal use and exports are unchanged. U.S. ending stocks are now projected at 3.1 million versus 3.2 last month. The projected price move range moved from 54 to 64 cents versus 56 to 68 cents last month. To me, that was one of the more sobering numbers in the report. When that mid number starts with a 5, which is now 59, that, you know, that's certainly not what a farmer wants to hear. And global demand for yarn and lower polyester prices seem to be the largest concern for the folks at USDA. World cotton projections show higher beginning stocks, lower production and consumption, and higher ending stocks relative to last month. Beginning stocks are raised about 900,000 bales due mainly to reduction in China's 2014-15 consumption. Beginning world stocks went from 110.91 million bales to 111.79. The good news was that production was lowered by almost 1.5 million bales, but the tougher news was that consumption was lowered by 1.2 million bales. When everything washed out, world ending stocks were actually increased 710,000 bales. Two countries showing projected reductions this month are China by 700,000 and Pakistan by 500,000. Consumption is mainly reduced in China by 500,000, Pakistan by 400,000, and India by 200,000. The numbers that kind of stuck out to me were that Australia is projected down their production by 100,000 bales, Brazil down 200,000, and the U.S. down 90,000. And here again, these are the three main machine-harvested premium quality producing nations, and USDA is projecting a total of 390,000 bale reduction in these countries. And granted, I realize 390,000 bales aren't game changers, but when those are the three countries that seem to have the potential producing the cotton that is in demand, it does get my attention. I still believe that the shortage of high-quality cotton is giving considerable support to this market and will continue to do that. So after looking at the entire report, the market responded by a quick drop, then just as quickly it shot up, and it closed the day 25 points lower. I think that's just pretty typical of the cotton market lately right there. We had an impressive export number this last week. Lower prices seem to still bring the desired results of better sales. Net upland sales totaling 206,900 bales for 2015-16 were up 76% from the previous week. And some really good news here is that Mexico took 128,000 bales. Mexico really seems to be stepping up to the plate to purchase U.S. cotton. And they're not waiting around to do it. And, you know, the USDA estimates are that Mexico will purchase 900,000 bales all year, and they've already purchased 856,000. So I believe this is probably a case of mills seeing the potential shortage of high-quality cotton, and they're trying to get at the top of the list while there is some to be had. Exports of 126,600 were up 80% from the previous week. Some interesting news in the report was that we had these good numbers without the mention of China till we got down to the Pima numbers. And, that's definitely encouraging when we can have really good exports and China not be a huge part of it. And so, once again, I think we're seeing some of that mill use going to Vietnam, Thailand, Pakistan, some of those other countries like that. And so that's one of the reasons that makes me want to be hopeful that we found our bottom at 60 and can hold here. Of course, back in September, China came out and said that for next year, they were going to stick with this minimum amount of quota of 894,000 metric tons that's required to offer at low duties under the commitments with the World Trade Organization. It is my understanding from the folks in China that a third of these quotas will be used, they'll be issued to the state-owned cotton trading companies for restricted use. And it's going to be for certain growths only, and probably that will go to African purchases mostly. In the past, China has offered another type of quota in addition to the one that makes them compliant with the WTO, but they're saying for now that they're not going to release those. So that was definitely not a positive thing for the market. On top of the drop in quotas, they're going to encourage domestic producers in the Yellow River and the Yangtze River Valley with subsidies. This is contrary to earlier information where they said they would only offer subsidies in the Xinjiang area. So once again, we've kind of gotten our hopes up that maybe without those subsidies, it was going to discourage a bit more cotton production, and it seems like they've decided to encourage it a little bit more. If you'll remember back in 2013 and 14, traders estimated that Beijing had issued another 600 to 800,000 tons through additional quota that they're still saying they're not going to do next year's. And, of course, rumors have floated, and I'm sure we'll see changes. But for now, that's where we are. As far as back here in the U.S., I think we've got to mention the indirect path of Hurricane Joaquin and what it's done in the Carolinas. My understanding, 20 to 25 inches fell across that area in about 3 days, and I know the pictures from there are pretty breathtaking, and I think the ones that probably bother me the most are the ones with the cottonseed sprouting in those bowls. That is not encouraging for those folks. And you know, it's just too early to know how much that did to yield and quality there. They had been projected to produce about 8% of the U.S. crop, so it's definitely going to impact that 8%. And then, of course, we here in West Texas have been wet. Of course, it's really hard for us to complain about being wet after hearing what's happened in the east, but 1 to 3 inches. In fact, yesterday I got a report of down south around the Midland area getting 4 inches of rain in the past 3 or 4 days. And the good thing here, it fell well. It fell real slowly. No storm damage, just wet, just as you were beginning to see fields fill up with strippers. There are strippers in every field you go by, and a lot of cotton already out of the field, and that's really ahead of schedule for us to see this much harvest activity at this time of year. I think with this next week, they are projecting dry weather for us, so I think you will see a tremendous amount of cotton come out of the field in West Texas. Quality reports from La Mesa and Lubbock show leaf grade in La Mesa at about 2.26 and about 3.13 in Lubbock. Color in both places is averaging well over 60% of it being 21 color or better. Staple length is about 34.5. That is my biggest concern, and hopefully that's the cotton that's burned up more. Hopefully we'll see that staple length get longer as the harvest goes on, but we will wait with bated breath to make sure that that does happen. an encouraging piece of information. At the La Mesa office, they're averaging 4.49 micronair, and the Lubbock office is averaging 3.95. You know, hopefully that can hang in there. And, you know, what does this do for the cotton market? At the end of the day, we're still stuck in the same range. We are up off of the very, very bottom, and that's the most encouraging thing that we can say. Historically, I spent some time looking. The last 15-year average is that we trade in a pretty tight range from here until mid to late November. But in each of the past 4 years, from October the 12th, which is today, until the low in November, the market falls an average of 6.5 cents between today and when it does make that low. Of course, that was not an encouraging thing, and I'm not saying that's going to happen. And in fact, my gut says it won't, but that is what it's been averaging the last 4 years. And many times that low is at or below the low of the year, so it would not be unexpected for it to make a new low if you're just going off of historical averages. The futures market has weathered Chinese currency devaluation and a smaller quota announcement.
You commented a lot about the quality. Did you say anything about bark? I didn't hear
so
anything
far
about
it's
bark.
Not showing much bark.
And okay.
Of course, I think that was in my notes somewhere. I had the total numbers. That's not very much cotton class. 14,875
okay.
for the season. So, you know, it's not a lot of bales so far, but hopefully it's going to continue with not much bark. Of course, so far, you know, we'd had perfect weather. So for everything that's been classed, it was perfect conditions. Now is where the bark could come in after these rains. But hopefully if it will go ahead and dry up, that will really help here. So we, you know, like I say, the market has endured a lot. It's held here at these lows, and I hope it can do that. When I did the historical
Peck, can we get into the supply demand report a bit?
Okay.
Into the what?
Supply and demand report.
Back to the supply demand report, what we'd kind of like to talk about.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Well, you have the crop going larger and were surprised by the crop coming down. I don't think most folks I had talked to were expecting the crop to come lower. Where do you think USDA has missed this?
Oh, I didn't so much as what I had read. I had read several reports where the projections were that they were expecting it to be raised.
Okay. I guess we were just reading different things, because I know from everything I had seen and people I had talked to, we expected a smaller crop. I know I had it down 200,000 bales, and it was down only
right.
100. Gerald, are you seeing the same thing? Your crop's supposed to be larger?
Well, in Arizona, they did get some pretty good rain and hail last week, so that crop could probably come out a little bit smaller this next week, but that's not a real game changer in any sense of the word. I think the surprise was that there were people who were thinking that Texas by itself might grow a little bit. I think maybe some optimistic folks out there who thought Texas might eventually creep over 6 million bales, but that, you know, I didn't know that it would happen this month. And clearly, it was probably a little too early to truly reflect the damage in South Carolina. So, you know, from that perspective, I thought maybe the crop could you know, be unchanged to plus or minus, you know, 150,000 bales.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think there was some lingering bias on the part of folks that thought, well, August's estimate was obviously way too low, and September they didn't raise it back up enough. And I got that from talking to the reporters that survey everybody to get the range. And that reporter told me that most of the people she talked to, which is, you know, not real people, but probably just pundits, thought that it should, quote, should be higher, which I interpret that as just sort of a, you know, a lingering bias to our August estimates, you know.
Well, talking to Gerald's real people, I had really thought this. I'm surprised the market, I mean, the crop came out. It's just 100,000 bales lower. I would tend to suggest that as we move forward. Now, granted, the storm in the southeast was after October 1, at least the damage assessment was. So consequently, it was not included in the report, as it, based on their methodology, should not have been included. But I would tend to think that we've got the U.S. crop probably down another couple of 100,000 bales just yet. And as Kelly said, particularly with the moisture out in West Texas this weekend and what the long-range weather folks have told us all along about weather in West Texas and throughout the belt, for that matter, that we should expect the crop lower. At least I will go on record saying I expect it lower. But I know I'm not a real person by Gerald's definition. I'm not going to worry about that until my cardiologist tells me the same thing.
Well, I was really interested to hear from you, OA, what you are projecting in the Carolinas all over in there after all of this. Do you have any ideas?
Well, I think we're going to be down for everything said and done, another 150,000, certainly 100,000, maybe another 150,000 in the Carolinas, and probably in net 150,000 to 175,000 in the southeast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm carrying our crop down a couple hundred.
You know, it sounds like from based upon people who were looking at it quite a bit, and that it could be as much as 300,000 bales lower in the mid south and southeast combined.
I would tend to think that. I like for other people to think that, so they won't think that what we have at Delta Branch is cannabis as opposed to cotton and corn and things.
Well, you know, you mentioned the wet in Texas. I don't believe so far anyway the wet is going to hurt our yield. It may hurt our quality. Typically, we feel like if we get one rain and it clears up pretty well after that, you know, it doesn't do too much to us. And bark could become an issue. Of course, leaf could become an issue. It's just how long it will stay dry and let us get out a bunch before it rains again. That would be our big concern here.
Well, we can continue to discuss this, but let's talk about ideas for our listeners that are interested in marketing ideas. Let's go around and just kind of share with each other what we think a farmer that's listening might want to do looking forward as far as helping him with marketing his crop. OA, have you got any ideas on that?
I do, or since Larry's told me I better, I've been trying to come up with some. If I might, though, Pat, as a base for it, go back to the supply-demand report. Kelly did mention a 400,000, or more specifically accurate, a 390,000 bale decline in U.S. carry, in the combination of Australian, Brazilian, and U.S. carryover. 400,000 in this month. I would tend to think that by the time everything is said and done with respect to those three countries, that carryover is going to be in the neighborhood of about 800,000 bales. In other words, another 400,000 bales more coming in carryover reduction over and above what's sitting out there right now. So, yeah. As I suggested to Larry, was that, cotton just got more expensive. High-quality cotton just got terribly more expensive with this report. And if you have any belief that, in my comment, that there's another 400,000 bale reduction in carryover in those three countries. So as a consequence, so long ago told to us by Joel Neal at the New York Cotton Exchange, basically go ahead and move that crop in the cash market today when you get it harvested. Go out to either the May or the July time period, he always liked July and buy 3 to 4 cents out of the money call. Now, 4 cents, maybe a little heavy for me. Certainly, it would cost a whole lot less, but I would tend to stick with the call out in July that's no more than 300 cents out of the money. Take your pot payment. At the same time, I think you have to bargain for a very strong cash basis because we know that the earlier cotton that's out there now is tends to be of a much better quality, and that's going to be the cotton that's going to get moved. So I would like the July call 300 points out of the market.
Okay, let me just look and see about what that's running, and I don't have any current trade on it, but it looks like it closed Friday at around 290 points. So that would give, for 65 calls, 66 calls I think are going for 258 to 260, just to tell you about what that's going for in July calls. So what about Gerald? Any thoughts you've got about strategies?
Well, I do think that, you know, the combination of LDP, futures, and basis, you know, if a grower can get net at least 68 cents, probably that's not a bad bad thing to look at. And I know most people are looking at trying to net at least 70 cents if they can. So 68 to 70 cents, and then looking at the call, it's been so frustrating to buy calls because it just seems like you are spinning your wheels on these things. This market is moving so slowly and with such lack of conviction on the upside that buying any specific strike I would rather target an amount of money. You know, do you want to risk 2 cents? Do you want to risk 3 cents? And then price your call accordingly to what you're willing to risk on buying a call. So if you can net 70 cents and you want to, and then eventually net 68 cents, you know, I'd spend no more than 2 cents on a call, whatever strike that can work out for you.
I think that's around 68 call,
okay.
Strike price is what matches up with about 200 points.
And I know that seems out of the money, and I'm normally a person who likes to buy something as close to being in the money as you can get. But again, this market has been so frustrating and has been moving at such a glacial pace upwards it just seems like, you know, you just set yourself a budget and spend money on a call that way.
Well, I'll just,
I like setting the budget and just figuring out what gives you the best bang for the buck at the time. I think that's a great idea, and I agree with Gerald, especially if you've got the mediocre cotton, something 36 and shorter, or shorter than 36. I think to sell it, and then if you think the market's going up, well, buy calls is great, and I like what OA said about make sure you're getting the best basis you can, and especially on that premium cotton. Because
let me mention one thing, keeping with all this, is that the delta on the 68s, which is for an option, how fast that option moves versus futures, that the 2 cent option, the 68 cent call, has got a delta of about 33. So it means you rally 100 points, at least in the beginning, that option call will move 33 points, and that 65 call that OA had mentioned, 3 cents out of the money, it's got a closer to a 40 cent delta. So you get more for your money, but again, you can choose between something that moves quicker or something that's kind of a budget for you. John, have you got any thoughts on this, if you're still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm agreeing with what I'm hearing. I guess I'm going to comment on what I see growers doing oftentimes, and maybe Kelly can correct me. But, you know, the ones that are going to have poorer quality are going to be competing in a kind of a world oversupply of poor quality, and they may get, you know, pretty steeply discounted. And there's a tendency to sort of choke on that and say, well, I'm not going to do that, and let it sit in alone and just kind of let time go by. And I don't see the advantage of hanging on to it. So I'll speak to that farmer psychology. I don't see the advantage of hanging on to that sort of thing.
That's a great point, John.
Yeah.
Because, again, if I may, and not to misrepresent what anybody said, or certainly not what the actual numbers are, Kelly commented on the early classing that she was talking about and the staple length below 35, which is short, below 35. And John's comment was that the world excess supply is going to be that cotton. So anything, certainly anything below 35, unfortunately, a 35 is not anything to write home about anymore. Markets tending to push more toward 36s, and it's just difficult. But that lower quality cotton, or that cotton that 5 years ago might have been considered just at the very top, or just at the mid range of quality, is now at the low range of quality, if quality at all. So we got to be extremely concerned about this quality issue. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and that's where we go back to the two markets. We've got the premium and the mediocre, and I think we're going to see that basis widen as the year goes on. There's demand and almost a shortage on the premium, and we've got an abundant supply of the mediocre, and the premium is just a whole different market, and that's where our loan chart has failed us. It just can't quite keep up with this two market system that's out there. So that's why, especially if it's mediocre, I like going ahead and selling it. Don't leave it in the loan. Buy calls. You could even do a fence that can cheapen up buying that call, and do it that way. And just make sure you're getting a good enough basis on your premium. That's the only cotton that I would be a little bit more patient in selling, and just make sure you get the wider basis that you kind of deserve with that cotton.
Right. Well, I certainly didn't address fences in this week's letter, but I did speak in terms of the CCC loan chart, and the USDA loan schedule does not include anything above 37 staple length. Well, you know, there's some 38 in there. Somebody may say, and say technically I'm wrong, but for the most part, the premiums for 38, same as 37. There's nothing about 39, 40 at all in that chart. So that the loan, CCC loan, actually hides some true value from the market, because it does not report, it doesn't even recognize that those longer staple lengths are now coming into play. And certainly I have no intention there of saying that they're hiding that on purpose. It's just the way the loan schedule is set up, and it begs for a complete reconfiguration of the loan schedule now that this one has become somewhat antiquated.
Any other thoughts before we get into our price projections?
Well, I wanted to comment, in John Robinson's newsletter, he had, back earlier in the summer, had suggested the purchase of a December 65 put and the sale of a December 58 put. And, that position, if you've watched it, it's in the money, it's making some money now, and the most important thing, it's still serving as protection for that downside. And I realize it's too late to put that on from back at the summer, but that's why we talk these hedges and we talk these market positions is that's what they do. It's added to a farmer's bottom line, as well as it's offered protection if the market goes way lower than anybody really thinks it can.
Okay. Let's start with Gerald. Gerald, give us your projections on where you think cotton can go. How low can it go? How high can it go?
Well, I think one reason the market bounced off of 60 cents is because you had, well, I don't know about everybody, but it seemed like the general expectation was for the market to continue to go on down. So everybody was on one side of the boat there. And I still think that most people are still on that side of the boat, that this market doesn't have any place to go but down. So for that particular reason right now, I kind of like the market to move a little higher. Got a lot of headwinds, got a lot of technical headwinds on this market right now. And even by virtue of the fact that the LDP this week is projected to go lower into Friday, you know, this market, in order for the grower to get the same sort of price, the market's going to have to creep a little higher. And that'll continue to feed on itself, I think. You know, will we make another run at 60 cents? Probably. But I do think that we'll make another run at 67 to 68 cents as well. So probably, you know, maybe 59 to 68 cents would be a range going forward.
Okay. All right. Good. John, are you still with us?
Sounds like he skipped out as he said he was going to have to do.
Okay. Well, let's slide over to Kelly. What are your projections?
I would be a whole lot in agreement with Gerald's thoughts. I think we'll make another run at 60, and hopefully it will hold. If it doesn't, I think that 58.5, surely that will hold it. I think on the upper end, kind of the way I see it, 64 will definitely see. 66 is somewhat likely, and 68 I don't think is out of the question.
Okay, OA?
Well, the first comment, Gerald mentioned headwinds, and yes, terrific headwinds here at 62 cents up to 63 cents. If that's the big question, period, getting above those, getting out of that area, getting above 62.5, 63. And until that's done, 60 cents is a real possibility day in and day out, but I am one that believes the crop is smaller. I believe the world crop is yet smaller. We did not discuss at all what's going on in India in the supply demand report, and that is a huge key. USDA did not touch that. And I think world carryover still could be as much as 3, maybe even 4 million bales below where we are today. And nonetheless, I accept the argument that we'll still have world carryover north of 100 million bales at that level, even if those suggestions of mine come to fact. So we do have this burden of stocks, but at the same time, as Kelly's mentioned, everybody's mentioned, John mentioned it, the stock burden is in the lower quality. So that's just what we have to be concerned about. I like the market higher. Of course, I've been the foolish one. I've said all along it had 70 cents written on it, so I may have stretched that out to the March or the May or something. But cotton has been, we've been told all year that we would have a smaller crop in Texas. It comes true month after month after month. I do, we talked about the news media, folks using the news media to project their crop size, but they've been high all year. I mean, the merchants have been high all year. They've promoted this crop time and time again, and of course that's what they're selling internationally, so they need a big crop. I think people have fallen prey to that and tend to have thought this crop was a lot bigger than it is. At the same time, we had this huge quality crop here in the Mid-South last year, just a real blessing, and it's a very good quality crop coming. It's good quality crop coming in much of the South and Southeast, but at the same time, we're entering the period that we're being told by the long-range weather forecasters who have been correct that we've got problems in Texas, we've got problems in other states, so we'll just have to see how that goes. Pat, if I may, I think this market still has got 68, 70 cents written all over it, but we've got to jump beyond the 62.5 pressure that's staring us in the face. And with that said, with the introduction, I guess I've got to be a little bit concerned about information being redacted on the program. We know last month Cotton Incorporated tried to redact some comments, and not sure what they had to hide, but hopefully they don't have a whole lot more to hide and won't try to redact things. Very unprofessional act, and we hope they'll do that. I notice you list them as a sponsor of this program, so we'll just see how that goes.
Oh, and Kelly, some thoughts on China for a moment. I guess I'm not terribly surprised that USDA lowered consumption by a million bales last year, but it just seems like such a random swipe, you know, a million bales. I don't even know where they came up with that number, but I guess it was just a nice round number, you know. Maybe it was only 300,000. Maybe it was, you know, 1.5 million. I don't know, but it just seemed like a real random swipe at consumption in China. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I had commented this week, best I can try to rephrase what I had said. I said, it seems that it's all too often now that USDA is changing historical data. It does bother me, and particularly just historical data just a few months old. At the same time, I said that I applaud them for trying to get it right and don't question their dedication and don't question that they know a whole lot more about it than I am and that they're very good. It just, and again, a whole lot better than I am, I reemphasize. And it just bothers me that we get changes that large just the other day. Why didn't they give us some of these changes earlier? You know, I've been very critical of the way they handled U.S. carryover in this past season, as well as exports. I think it was the writing was just everywhere, yet they would not budge. So I think this is just more evidence of that, and I think it just says they're having a hard time like everybody else. But I certainly will have to come back and say that, flag me 15 yards for piling on them, but at the same time, they're the best there is. They're the best that we got, and more so than anything else, the U.S. cotton industry and the U.S. cotton grower has to say we support them 1,000%.
And India, likewise, India, you know, I don't know, maybe the crop is 2 to 3 million bales smaller over there, but that seems very significant. You know, at the very least, they might devote a few more resources into checking out that crop size over there rather than taking a random swipe at Chinese consumption.
Yeah. And, I mean, if India is 3 million bales lower, well, what's wrong with starting with 500,000 bales lower in this report as opposed to zero, not making any changes? Again, just in their defense, it's just difficult, and they do have those limited budgets.
Any other thoughts? Anybody? Okay, well, let's wrap our meeting up for today. We want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank our cotton panel, Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Jill Nieper, Dr. John Robinson, and a special thanks to our guest speaker, Kelly Merritt. Thanks to all of you. And that concludes our meeting. Thanks for being with us for this edition of the Ag Market Network.